jacket and a sad look.
3 weeks ago, Douglas made us watch Underground.
Wow, it was 3 weeks.
This week, Damien tricked us into watching White.
No, no, he tricked you. I knew what was going on. Clearly, he knew what was going on.
I also tricked myself by nothing.
Exactly.
And we've all seen Gone Girl.
Right.
These are all three very intriguing movies.
I think this is going to be a special podcast.
Right, so we're going to go in order of shittiness.
Right? So Underground
first. We're in Underground first. Right?
Then Gone Girl is second.
And then White.
Underground. Oh wait, did we get the order wrong?
Andrew. Now listen. I know that you thought you were playing the quiz game.
Is he drunk?
Right? But that's not what we're playing.
That's all right. We're not playing. Okay,
that
game
ended.
That game ended.
Yes, it did. Andrew clearly did not realize this, though. Because he just pulled a quiz game. A classic Andrew quiz game problem. Actually, more a classic Douglas quiz game problem, but sure.
So I know Andrew just said this.
Sorry,
I'm
guys.
I'm going to repeat it word for word.
And
just slower. Like it's coming off my head. Because clearly I can't listen to this.
So this is a weird bit. Because when Douglas sent us the email talking about Underground, I was editing the podcast that was like a week beforehand. And we had talked about our top five favorite foreign films from the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In which Douglas mentions Underground, not
oh, did
list,
I? Oh,
not
okay.
in his list, uh-huh. but he mentioned it as an afterthought, thinking I was considering putting this in, but I didn't want to do it because I haven't seen it in a long while.
Yeah.
And then he picks a movie for us to watch to engage us with it. So Douglas, I'd like to ask you at this point, having now revisited Underground, I'm guessing 30 years after you last saw it, do you feel that this movie would have been a strong contender for that top five?
No, that's no longer. Clearly, you were smoking heroin.
I think a piece of this movie, a portion of this movie, is absolutely a strong contender for not just the list, but number one, right?
Is that the credits?
this movie as a whole, I think, not so much.
Damon, when you watch bad movies, do you get more and more excited about the credits?
I actively look forward when I don't have to watch a movie anymore. When you're an hour and a half into garbage and you know you have another hour and a half left, what I usually do is either find pastry or I have a bicycle that you can ride to nowhere. It's the worst piece of exercise. I hate it so much. You pedal forever and you go absolutely nowhere. I'm trying to pedal away from the movie and the movie just stay right there mocking me. Douglas, I do not like anything about this movie. Like, at all, Douglas. I do not like the acting. I sure as shit don't like whatever horseshit story they were. By the time that movie ended, first of all, it has an ending fake out. Which, when that happened, I was furious. When the guy turns to the camera and he's like, he's been stuttering the whole movie, the half of the island floats away into nothingness. I'm like, oh, this shit is over. And they're like, no, Damien. I look at the clock, I'm like, oh, is there still 15 minutes? And they're like, no. Just wait.
We must follow Blackie.
You're going to watch as we burn some old people and have them go around in a wheelchair. This fucking movie. This movie is as bad as Transformers.
Oh, that's harsh.
No, it is not.
Because that is harsh.
Because at least Transformers has action to this. Fuck. Alright, no, I'm going to... Sorry. This movie's fucking terrible. I'm going to retract the last statement comparing it to Transformers. Because it's apples and oranges. They're both fucking... awful.
It's just different kinds of awful.
They're just shitty, 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 shitty.
One kind of awful wants to sear your eyes out.
Right.
And the other one wants to chop your legs off.
Right. It is as if Douglas plans, my death, like, because I'm never sick, and he's always sick, he's trying to kill me. Through the television. I don't understand. It's,
do you think it's because he's older and he knows he has less years than you? He's trying to win the race.
But then he shouldn't be wasting his few precious moments watching 9-hour movies that are terrible. Douglas, when I really, like, I aggressively, aggressively do not like this movie.
Oh my goodness. And I'm sad for that because,
like, the especially their attempts at being funny.
Oh, you see, here lies the thing.
The monkey. Oh god damn that!
I think Douglas and I relatively agree on this movie in that I actually enjoyed the first hour.
Yeah,
pretty
but
much about
two
the
more
first
hours
hour, where it feels like it's brinking on being a musical.
Like, oh yeah, of course you'd enjoy it.
Of course I'd enjoy that. Right. And oddly enough, one of the things I thought of most, because I noticed it in that first hour, every scene in which we open with Blackie, they open with a band behind him.
Yeah, yeah.
And what came to mind every time I saw those scenes was my favorite scene from Holy Motors, where they have the accordion and everyone walking down the street.
I will not have you draw any any comparisons between this movie and Holy Motors. Absolutely not.
And the movie just played off like lunacy. Mm-hmm. Right? It played off like lunacy and shenanigans. Even when you saw things like Blackie and Marco having gangster fights during the war, like that stuff I just loved it. It was wacky and it had the right tone of weird, right? And then it turned. Then the movie thought it was being serious, right? Even though they had a couple of here and there jokes like watching people film the history event that we saw in the first hour all over again. And Blackie comes out and goes, "Hi, the Germans are still here," and doing stuff. Even stuff like that, they had a weird, serious tone to it that overtook the comedy that was in
Andrew,
there.
Andrew, I'm sorry to tell you this,
yes.
But that tone that you saw in the second and third hours of the movie was present from minute one. You just didn't see it.
I saw too much.
You were busy trying to visualize this movie as something it clearly wasn't. And then when it dawned on you, this is not going to be a musical. You went, "Yeah, no, this one." It took you 1 hour to realize, this movie is not going to be what I want it to be, is it? And you went, "This movie sucks." But, and then you're like, but for that 1 hour,
it
when
was,
there was still
was...
hope.
I was in right?
There was a light
and
at the end of the tunnel. And joy in my heart for that 1 hour when this movie could have been better.
And Blackie was the right kind of ridiculous character.
Now the movie starts, and then there is a bombing, and then there is a man and a monkey crying for no fucking reason.
He rubs a cat
right.
on his shoe to get mm-hmm. off the shoe.
Right. And then it cuts to whatever that scene was with all of them and the people driving by. In like, the movie is nonsensical. It is, there's no whimsy. They make several attempts throughout the movie to go, isn't this funny? Look, that stuttering guy who is stuttering for no reason has a monkey. Again for
he stutters for a reason.
Yeah, right, what's the reason?
He stutters because he has a limp.
I'm disowning this, brother. I don't know what this movie is about. It's horrible. I don't want to be a part of this argument anymore. Douglas just jumped up a proverbial shark that I didn't know we had in this room.
But seriously, though, I loved the first maybe hour and a half of this movie, right?
Until you too realized.
The whimsical tone that it took was marvelous. No, on a serious level, it was great, right? As Andrew says, Blackie was just absurdly ridiculous. As was everybody in this movie for the first, essentially, half of
remember
it, right?
Remember how that movie starts? That the movie starts with them driving into town.
Yeah.
Screaming for no reason.
Yeah.
And then the movie goes from that to, like, wartime. What was the point of the whole opening? Why was that necessary?
Listen,
why was the zoo portion necessary? Like, they could have just started with the bombing and moved because
and
the rest
maybe,
of the movie is about
no,
that.
No, I don't specifically remember exactly what you're talking about. And
the movie
but yeah, but it's been a while, right?
The whole year.
All right, but no, seriously though, like I don't remember, but what you are talking about is actually a big part of why I don't like the rest of this movie, right? So you probably have a really valid point, but the first part for me, the first part for me was it was just great. It was, you know,
first part you can't remember.
It was the FP level of awesomeness.
Listen to me.
We're gonna keep referencing movies.
That's
yeah.
Love. You're just making me angry for literally no reason.
Right. I mean, as Andrew says, Blackie, you know, wiping his shoes with the cat.
The
marching band behind him all the time.
Not funny.
You know, and I don't know why I find this funny, but things like he gets on stage and just has somebody tie his girlfriend that he wants to.
That was the first part of the movie where I noticed the weird dark tone that this movie had. Because, like, you'd imagine it would be slightly whimsical and weird about how he did what he did. But then the girl is tied to him, and he shoots the guy, like, in the face. Right, then, like, you're like, wait a second. I thought we were being funny right now. She just murdered a man just because he touched his woman.
You're saying that the movie's tonally inconsistent? Almost like it starts with people driving into town, screaming for no reason, and then shifts to a wartime story.
And then Marco goes and rescues him in the sanitarium, and he's like being electrocuted. It's just crazy shenanigans.
Surviving is he was in
electric. He was a pole man. Like that's what's great about this movie. If you're willing to, and I understand, right? If you're not in the right frame of mind for movies like this, where you're like, I will not. No, you're absolutely right. You have to literally turn off your head and be like, listen, I am willing to just accept rubbish, but. You know, laugh at it. And that's fine, right? And that's how...
You think I'm going to accept that horseshit line of reasoning?
That's what I love.
You know
about
many
first part of
this
movie, right? No.
Do you think you can throw that nonsense in my face anymore?
No, where it turned for me, and I kept trying to pull it back, but where I started to be like, hold on a second, not sure if I like this as much as I did, was when they finally went underground for good, right? And they did the thing that I don't really like in a lot of old movies, but I'm willing to forgive sometimes. And I was willing to forgive because up to this point, I was down 100%. Is they skipped ahead, gave no explanation, and just expected you to understand what was happening. And it took me a while to kind of get my bearings again, as it does with, you know, old movies that do that. Mm-hmm. But sure, fine, whatever. I'm not as smart as you. I'm good. Right?
All right, good people.
Exactly, right? You know, I complain about it with, like, The Deer Hunter, which I love anyway. And this movie, I will complain about it too, because what happened was, and I hope I'm not... Well, nobody's going to watch this movie.
God damn, right about that.
But
you're like, what's this 90s movie called? I'm not going to watch it.
So for the whole first half of the movie, we're in Yugoslavia. And there's the Great War, and Blackie is like the hero of the story. He's trying to free his fellow comrades, and you know he gets in a tight spot, and he goes underground. His friend Marco gets him to a cellar, and says, "Stay here until you know things cool off, and then we can fight the man again another day, right?
You can finish off the war."
Exactly. So for some reason, Marco and Blackie's girlfriend stay on the outside of the world and Blackie stays underground. I don't know how Blackie just says, yeah, sure, that's cool. But, all right. And then, I know, right? Well, yeah, that's another thing, which is great. But the movie just skips ahead like 20 years. And apparently, and this is a great joke, but I don't, they just didn't play it off great. They didn't play it off well. The joke is, the war ended a long time ago.
And it ended when we know it.
Exactly, right? And Marco has just been like, he came up with this plan. He's like, wait, why don't I just keep these people downstairs and make them think the war is still going on? And that in itself is so, it's a perfect setup for so many punchlines. And they hit a few of them, but just at this stage of the movie, it becomes, as you said, the tone switches and it's less jokes and more weird, not jokes, right? And every once in a while, funny will pop up its head. Like when Blackie finally gets out from the cellar, finds the war is still going on, but it's not really the war. It's a movie crew that's filming a movie about Blackie and about the war. But he decides, this is the war. I'm going to kill everyone. And he even sees Franz. And he's like, shit, this guy hasn't aged a day. I'm going to kill him again. And exactly. See, Andrew's just laughing like crazy. Because that's a funny joke. That's so funny. But I think this movie forgot that. Or maybe they set out to do something else and screwed up for the first hour, which is why I liked it. But it forgot that it was just a comedy. And then it became this thing. I've actually gone online and read reviews and they're talking about, you know, this is an allegory for all of the things that happened in Yugoslavia. And I'm like, wow, because that's not what I needed. That's not what I saw or liked. I just wanted funny shenanigans.
And that makes sense to me, the fact that people are talking about as an allegory and such. Because when you see some of the second half of the movie, and I want to talk specifically about the exact last scene where he's looking for Johan, and Marco is now a war profiteer,
yeah,
rolling around in his wheelchair, right? And like you have Blackie kind of just walking, doing a monologue as if he's in like a Shakespearean play, and this thing, like, you feel a sense of importance, but because of what came before, you're kind of lost in it.
Yeah,
like, it
exactly.
Makes nothing to you.
Yeah,
right. And it. All of the camera work and the imagery at that point, you're like, this feels like they're trying really hard to make a point about the war.
Yeah.
Right? But did we... Yes, David.
I have a question.
Yes?
What did the monkey stand for in this allegory?
Anyway.
He
I honestly...
for the shenanigans of the Yugoslavians themselves.
So I honestly feel that there is a solid hour and a half to 1 hour and 40 minutes in this movie, that if cut right, if given a DC, right?
No, D is not involved
in this. Okay. If given a director's cut, would be the funniest movie ever, right? The first hour and a half up to when they go underground, perfect. Then a little bit of a bunch of the sprinklings of, especially that first piece of the second half, I'm okay with. Then maybe skip to when they get out and go to the movies and kill movie people. Oh, wonderful. And then have like an ending where, you know, people die or something. That would be the perfect comedy shenanigan Yugoslavian history movie ever made. Right? And I would watch that on repeat 100% of the time. This movie, though, like this movie... I give it a pass because of the first half, and that's about it.
I'm not that kind.
It's an alright movie as far as I'm concerned overall.
The movie started off teasing me with shenanigans, and then with Andrew, I don't care about you anymore. Now it's alright. I think I'll go away now. Damien loved every minute of this movie.
Best like, movie I've seen all year.
Like, he was wondering, like, why Holy Motors wasn't this good.
Yeah.
for me.
Anything else?
As y'all know, my wife, Amy Elliott Dunn, disappeared 3 days ago. I had nothing to do with the disappearance of my wife. I have nothing to hide.
Sammy got friends we can talk to?
No, not really.
You don't know if she has friends, you don't know what she does all day, and you don't know your wife's blood type.
Just being a good guy, so everybody can see him being a good guy.
Well, you really don't like him, do you?
All I'm trying to do is be nice to the people who are volunteering to help find Amy.
I will practice believing.
Andrew, can you tell us about this movie?
So before we're going
further, why we're talking about
I'm going to call it from here because we're going to do it, and especially because it's a current film, I'm going to call it. We all love this movie, and more importantly, we're going to spoil the fuck out of this movie because I've been quiet talking about this movie mainly because, like, unless you're an avid book reader who loves this book, right?
What?
Or if you're a person who really doesn't care,
this is a book.
There's a big turn at around the 40th or 30th minute, wherever it is, and it changes this movie. So we're going to spoil this movie. So in case it bothers you, you know what's happening.
Mm-hmm. There's dragons!
So this movie is about is about the time when Batman's wife died. And yes, I told David about this dumb joke I've been making at work.
So
why do I keep laughing at this? Because you know it's funny. You know... I give you this joke.
Dumb joke.
Go and use on your own.
Such a dumb joke.
I'm not holding this. Yes, I told
yes,
you
have. Yes,
okay,
you have.
So Ben Affleck.
And you podcast
Batfleck.
Listeners, you cannot get the joke. No joke for you.
Well, they're already going to make their own jokes because of Ben Affleck. Right? It makes so... They can make a connection.
His name is Batfleck.
Batfleck. My apologies.
No,
it's
Fleck Bat. Flexter.
That doesn't make any sense.
Chin back.
So Ben Affleck, his wife is gone.
Bat with apples.
Right? She goes missing under some very precarious... Is that the right word?
No!
It's not the right word.
It is a word.
But it could work, you know, perhaps...
What?
Perhaps when she left, she was on a rickety piece of board, and the situation was then precarious.
Dubious is probably the word.
You know, so one
well,
thing
I should
do is I should take that piece and I should take that piece of the recording to work. Because those people think that I'm English God at this point.
The most disturbing thing I've ever heard.
Under some very suspicious circumstances.
It's a big word.
There are enough syllables in there to make me feel like a man. And the movie kicks off from there. Later on, we discover that she staged her own death only to have Ben Affleck suffer a horrible end, which involves lots of courts and jail, hopefully. And it becomes a weird race between her, how horrible she can be, and how much Ben Affleck can try and game the system to get out of supposed murder.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens all in between. I'm going to go there and assume that none of us knew anything about that twist going into this movie.
Into the movie? No.
No. We just knew Batman's wife died.
Yeah.
I didn't even know Tyler Perry was in this movie. If I had seen him in one of those trailers, chances are I'm not going to see that. There's a strong chance that I'd have allowed his Tylerness
to stop you from watching it. Like, we would come here and we'd tell you, Damon, this movie's brilliant.
You're like,
you'd be like, we're lying.
Right. Just like when you guys came here, like, Damon, that Facebook movie, I went, no one can make Facebook movie. I don't care what you said Fincher can do. That is impossible. And I didn't watch it in theaters. And I didn't watch it for a good long time. And then one day I went, I do like this director, though. And I saw it was fucking incredible. And so when I hear that he is making something, because clearly this is now his MO, he's going to make something awesome and just put enough things that will turn Damien off. But I'm on his plan. And so now I don't watch any trailer.
You're just going to the movie and just say yeah. David Fincher on the poster.
Right. Like, it should just say David Fincher.
Black screen. David Fincher date. Damien shows up.
I'm kind of surprised it came out here though, because that David Fincher
movie. Yeah.
Like, Social Network came out here.
Yeah, but and it made like $13. And when I went to watch the movie, like seriously, it was in theater one, and 20 people was not it. 20 people didn't watch that movie. So I don't know what Carrie is doing.
I am just happy that they are fooled every time.
I'm very happy.
So okay, there's something specific I want to talk about, and it's not necessarily a discussion that people are having about this movie just yet. But it's about the idea of these kinds of movies, these twistable movies that come out where, like, where it feels almost like a roller coaster that you're on, at least for that first viewing, right? Where the movie's able to turn quicker than you're able to think about the turns. And I mean, we've talked about movies being predictable and enjoying it anyways, but there's something about movies where you can't see it coming, or at the very least, you don't see for a long while, right? You might, like, I remember, Douglas, when we were in the theater, I asked you, and you said that, like, a couple minutes before it happened, you had suspected it.
Yeah,
because
I can't...
Because you used a time clock. You used a clock to be like, this movie is over, it's kind of...
No, it wasn't that, actually. You know what it was? And let me tell you what it was, why I decided to get real suspicious and figure out that, you know, she was not who she said she was and whatever. Mm-hmm. Because the way this movie is set up, right, you see the past through her eyes because they're reading the diary. And, you know, there are some points when Ben Affleck would be talking publicly and say, you know, we were great, whatever. And you will discount those because, yeah, he's never going to say, you know, I fucking hated my wife or whatever. But there was a point where you started to see the past through Ben Affleck's eyes, and it was clear that there was a diametric opposition between the two people, and I was like, you know what? Something's not right here. I think that she's doing something crazy. And that's what I can't remember. I think there was a point when you actually saw a scene from his past in his mind or something like that. But I remember that was a point when I was like, something's fishy.
So, we do the same thing whenever we watch movies. We try to see Doug. And while I didn't get the exact twist right, I knew whenever movies do this, whenever they're like, everything was pointing to Ben Affleck doing it.
Yeah, you knew it wasn't that.
David Fincher wouldn't do this in 100 million years. This is too straightforward.
Yeah.
So there's something. There's something that is clearly wrong about everything here. And so I knew something was up. When the clue started showing up, I went, if she is dead, this is the worst movie. She kept, like, I immediately went into Korean cinema more. She's going to, like, have him sent to prison and, like, murder him. like, taunt him forever. It's going to be like a mother situation. She's just going to destroy this man's life. That part I kind of got. And the reason I love this movie is because then it goes one step further and I went, this is alright movie. Alright.
Yeah. This movie goes, this movie doesn't go one step further. It goes about 10 steps further.
This movie will go. I have a plan for you people that can see the future. So when it happened, of course, the 12 people in Caribou were like, holy shit! I'm like, no, I knew that something was up. When the further steps were taken, me and the rest of the people were like,
So Damien, I have one question specific to you.
Holy shit.
Right? And it's because it's something I've noted over the years, us talking about movies and television and women in movies. And more importantly, your weird attraction to horrible women in movies.
Are you asking me what I think you're asking?
I'm asking you.
100% I want her to marry me. What? I want a wife like this so badly. I want someone that will put the fear of God in.
I think this podcast is over. So I don't think we can talk anymore.
So much.
I'm afraid to meet
oh
your
my God.
Who would be wife at
listen,
this point?
Listen. I'm a very controlling person, right? I like things a certain way. And I that is like across the board. And whenever I do something, I either do it 1,000,000% or not at all. And so it goes with girlfriends. What I want is essentially the female copy of me, just one step, like one step higher. So when I look at her, I need to go, I think tonight might be the night that I'll have to knife my mouth to this house. I think tonight is the night. When it comes on the news and they say, in other news, man stabbed to death, you will all know.
mm-hmm.
I want everyone to go, we saw this coming. In fact, he saw this coming.
He put in his will, please don't prosecute her.
Leave her alone.
She deserved it.
I probably had this coming. Been a real dirtbag for a long time. Probably needed to have some. I don't know what it is, Andrew. I don't know. I've never met. Clearly, I haven't met anybody like. There's probably like three women like this in the whole world, and they've murdered 90 people. It doesn't exist. I'd love to meet one. Oh my God. Good God, I love this movie. The entire time I was watching this movie, it felt like she is what the girl from Stoker grew up to be. It is like the best double feature. I'm like, when this movie comes out, I'm going to watch Stoker and I'm going to watch this.
Damien, I never thought about that, but you're absolutely right. And you have made me
smile and completely.
You have made me love this movie even more.
Holy shit, I love this movie.
But that's actually interesting that you guys take it the Korean route, because most people like to use the word pulp when they're talking about this movie. And I don't generally find that word discussed around the Korean movies, even the craziest ones that we love, right? Those are dark, serious action revenge movies, but they never turn to pulp, where it feels like, oh, we're just having trashy turns happen. And that's kind of what this movie does. It has turns which, at a point, like almost feels like it's joking itself with its turns. Like, the first one, yes, right? Then there's the second, the third, and then you're like, oh, we're just playing weird, crazy game.
Right, where is it? Guess how this ends. It was fun. It was like, this movie was like an action movie without the action. It's the same ride that it took you. I was like, just sit down, look at the screen, and we're going to take you on a ride. And when, holy shit, when that movie ended, so good. It's everything about that movie. I was this close to writing off Neil Patrick Harris. I'm tired of, he does the same shit.
Wait, no, hold on.
And he's been doing it too long. I'm not bored of it.
I would like to explain my crinkle of the nose. Because, yes, I agree with you. I kind of love that Neil Patrick as,
I liked it
for a while, whatever. I will still watch Harold Kumar, Harlan Kumar. I love that. But when I watch this movie doesn't help the Neil Patrick Harris argument for me.
Oh.
I think he was the weakest. If we had to pick one, he's the weakest part of the movie.
But that is the character that he was meant to play.
Yeah.
Not sure, right? But
someone that was weak and at the same time 100% detestable. we're spoiling the movie.
Yeah.
When she murders him, part of you went, kind of deserved it. And then you went, no, she's crazy. She's a crazy person. 100% crazy.
The thing about this movie that I'm not going to say bothered me, but I'm not quite sure how I feel about is the actual exact end of this movie. When he's still together with her. And you even have that scene with Ben Affleck and the sister where she's bawling out her eyes. Because she's like, look, we all know she's a crazy woman, right? You have that moment where he's practicing telling the truth to everyone, going, look, my wife is crazy. She's done these things, and I am a prisoner in her own crazy story. And at that end point, when she talks back to him, when he finally, actually, we can confirm this as a real thing, where he really hits her, pushes her into the wall, and she explains to him why she's this woman, and why she did this to him, and why she came back, right? Like, maybe it's because I'm putting myself into that role, where I'm looking at it and I'm saying, you have gone 50 steps too far down the road of being okay with things. Of, like, this is the point in time where no matter what the repercussion, you jump off the cliff, right? You just say, look, I'm done with this lady, right? I am outside there. We are going to find out how these other people feel about this situation right now. Because I'm not dealing with you as a crazy lady. And, like, it's because I'm waiting to watch this movie again. And I really want to do it. I probably will go and watch it tomorrow.
Yeah, I totally
at this rate.
Watch this again.
But it's still a really good fucked up... Like, for someone who loves those... For us who talk about these Korean movies where somehow when you see that ending and it has this weird, fucked up, crazy tone to it...
Yeah.
It still kind of satisfies me on that level, while at the same time wearing me out and making me feel awkward as to the fact that I don't think Ben Affleck would do that. Like, he would stay there. Like, no matter how much they want to use a child as the excuse. Like,
I will tell you, at that point in the movie, I was no longer wondering what Ben Affleck would do. I was in Ben Affleck's shoes. I'm 100% stayed with that crazy.
Because you want the one step further.
When that movie ended and the sister's like, you want to stay with her? Yeah. Kinda. Yes! Of this movie. Nah. That is a special type of crazy. You know, fuck with that kind of crazy. Like, think about... She was willing to do that because he kissed another woman. Imagine what she'd do this time.
He's murdered his entire family.
Even if she got caught this time, it wouldn't end well for him.
I'm kind of curious. How much Fincher seems to love these movies where the audience knows the truth, but the people in the world don't. Right, there's Zodiac where he gives us an ending where he's like, look, he's the Zodiac killer, but nobody knows this is true. Right, we have decided this is true. When we watch a Social Network and we know the truth of that outcome, but it's all private information, so no one in the world knows that's true. We can go down the line with Seven and all these other movies, but with this one, it's even weirder.
Because no one knows.
Because it's not so much no one knows, it's no one will believe it.
That interrogation
and,
scene when she came back.
Can I tell you, so you know what I really love about this movie? You can't trust it. Right? You can trust everything that you saw in the present, but you have no clue what the past was, what the history was, right? So as much
I decided I trust his version.
But that's the thing, right? You want to trust his version because you're like, fuck that lady because she's crazy. But can you though? Like, you can't, you know. You can't trust either side, which is why I'm sure there is a history that's in between that, you know. So, for instance, he probably didn't throw her down. Maybe he just told her to go fuck herself and left. I don't know, right? But nothing out of her diary, nothing out of his supposed memories, because these are really just stories he's telling other people that think he's guilty, that he probably wants to sound like he's not, right? And you can't trust anything, any of the backstory to this movie. All you know is that his wife It's a little bit weird. She's just not a nice lady. And that he didn't kill her. That's about all you know about these two people. And I'm so happy about this movie. Because, and Andrew knows this, and I think you know this by now, I love it when a movie confuses me to tears. I love it when I'm like, I don't know what to trust. I don't know who is who. Like,
Tyler Perry is the most right. I was listening to someone talk about this movie and realized they found it so hilarious in a David Fincher-directed movie to have a scene in which Tyler Perry is directing Ben Affleck's acting.
Pretty good. I'd like to ask people to stop sneaking Tyler Perry in movies that I watch. That they do with Star Trek. And they do it again with this, and I want it to stop. Listen, Tyler Perry.
But he brings the Oprah.
I'm sure he's a fantastic man. In fact, I don't care who he is. What I do know is that he makes some of the worst movies. He makes the undergrounds of movies. And I don't watch them. Right?
But when I type underground movies into the internet, I find good movies.
You're an idiot. When he makes his dross, his drivel, his excrement, when he excretes these terrible movies on the armlet touching the face. When he does it, me and him have an agreement. I won't complain about his movies, right? But I will also not watch any of his movies, right? And he, in turn, will not give up. Will continue to not give up. And it was fine. But now he's popping up. And I'd like it to stop. He's either going to do this, have real-ass directors direct him in movies, and cut the Madea shit, or he's going to the Madea and leave me. He can't have it both. All right. So when this comes out, can you just email this section to him for me, please?
I will.
Thank you.
I'll send it to his personal email, which I
don't care what you have for him. Just get it to him.
I'm going to
Tyler
put
P
it on my phone. His house and just press play on outside. Just
unreplenished. He doesn't. AOL.com.